The Gospel of John, John chapter 8. Our focus for this morning is John 8, verses 37 to 47. I'll begin reading at verse 31, and I'll read through the end of the chapter, but focusing on verses 37 to 47. So hear God's holy word. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I've seen with my father, and you do what you've heard from your father." They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works of your father, or the works your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I come not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory, for there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets who died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. If my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God, but you have not known him, I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do not know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. The grass withers, the flower fails, but the word of our God endures forever. Let's pray for his blessing. Father, we do thank you and we praise you for your word. We know that your word is true. And we know that this is your word. And so, Father, we look to you. We trust in you. Help us to trust in you all the more. Lord, give us the ears to hear. bless he who brings your word, that we would hear what you have for us. Lord, may each of us grow today and learn to love you more. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's been a couple of weeks as I've been away, but let me remind you of what has been going on here in John chapter 8. Jesus has been telling the Jews and the Pharisees who he is. He's the Messiah. He's the prophet greater than Moses. He's come from heaven to do the will of the fathers, of the Father. The Pharisees wanted to stop him. They even wanted to arrest him, or even better, if they could do it, they wanted to kill him. But his time had not yet come, so that could not happen at this point. But we did see that many believed in him. And so Jesus paused in his debate with the Pharisees and Jews to speak to these new believers on the topic of true discipleship. There are those who reject Christ outright, but there are also those who say that they believe in Jesus, but their faith is not real. And so Jesus taught that true disciples abide in Christ and his word. Now, we aren't saved because we abide. We aren't saved by our abiding. That is a salvation by works, and that is not what this passage is teaching. However, we abide because we have been saved. We abide because Jesus keeps us. And so abiding is indeed an indication of true discipleship. Not that we ourselves have the strength to abide, but God keeps those who are his. And so true disciples are those who will continue abiding in the word or in the truth. And so true disciples are truly free. Free to serve God, free to obey God, free to glorify God. And then last time we talked about being free indeed. If the Son sets you free, then you are free indeed. But the Jews took great offense at that comment. They insisted they've never been enslaved as children of Abraham. And I find that statement by them very interesting, because that must have meant that they forgot about Egypt, they forgot about Assyria, they forgot about Babylon, they forgot about Persia, and what about the current Roman occupation right then and there? They forgot, or they ignored. But of course, they failed to understand the greatest form of bondage, which wasn't the bondage that they had with these nations, but their bondage to sin. It's an inward bondage of the will and the heart. But the Son can free and has freed those who are indeed his, both from the guilt of sin, but not merely from the guilt of sin, but also from the power, the dominion of sin. And so those who are freed by the Son are free indeed from sin's condemnation and from sin's mastery. Now, as you know, the Jews were offended by all of these things. They were proud of their supposed freedom as descendants of Abraham. They put their trust in their bloodline. They put their trust in their physical lineage. But one is not saved because of his family tree. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And to be truly sons of Abraham, we must have faith in the one whom Abraham had faith in. Our hope is not a bloodline. Our hope is faith the same faith that Abraham had in Christ. Speaking of Abraham, Paul said in Romans chapter 4, he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe. See, who's Abraham the father of? Not of the Jews, but of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted them as well. And so today we'll be talking about being sons by faith and three things in that regard. First of all, false confidence in your physical lineage. Secondly, we'll talk about the devil as father. And finally, we'll talk about why don't you believe, or why doesn't the Jews that Jesus was talking to believe? Well, the Jews, who were very proud of being descendants of Abraham, trusted falsely in their physical lineage. Were descendants of Abraham, therefore, were good. In their minds, their physical lineage, their relationship to Abraham gave them a right to standing before God. That in their mind made them true sons. They failed to understand that one is not a son by blood, but one is a son by faith. And people today as well so often put their trust and their hope in a blood line, or in their physical relation. But the Bible clearly teaches that our hope for salvation is not in family, it's not in blood, it's in Christ. It's by faith. We've seen that already in the Gospel of John. John chapter 1, right from the beginning, John has made this clear. John 1 verses 12 to 13, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Those who believed, he gave the right to become children of God, not because of a bloodline, but through faith, all because of God. People today falsely put their hope in family. They falsely put their hope in a bloodline, maybe not in exactly the same way that the Jews did. But people often assume that they're bound for heaven simply because their parents are members of the church. Now, surely there is blessing in growing up with Christian parents, growing up in the church, where you have parents who point you to Jesus, where you have the preaching of the word pointing you to Jesus. God does often bless that, and that is a blessing. But never think that you're going to heaven simply because your parents brought you to church, or because your dad is a pastor or an elder or a deacon, or your mom is a Sunday school teacher, or because you see your mom praying day after day. Salvation doesn't work that way. Salvation is not by blood. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Again, I know some will say, I grew up in the church. I was baptized as a child. I eventually received the Lord's Supper. And these are no doubt great privileges and blessings, but they don't grant salvation. Salvation is through faith, through a personal trust and a resting on Jesus Christ as he's offered in the gospel. Salvation is not something you get merely because mom or dad are a believer, or grandpa and grandma are believers, or even from going to church. I've said in the past, sitting in the pew doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in the garage makes you a car. The question is your faith in Jesus Christ? The Pharisees, right? What have we been seeing here? The Pharisees refused to put their faith in Jesus. They wanted to kill Jesus. But what was their claim? Well, we're related to Abraham, so everything's good. That's nonsense. Let me even try to illustrate this. As school has started, let me ask some of you who remembers who Aaron Burr was. Who remembers Aaron Burr from their history classes? He was the third vice president of the United States, vice president for Thomas Jefferson. Aaron Burr was not a godly man. He rejected the Christian faith. He lived a sinful life, and he murdered Alexander Hamilton. You see, Burr had challenged his political rival, Hamilton, to an official duel and killed him in that duel. Now, does anybody know who Burr's grandfather was? Burr's maternal grandfather and grandmother were Jonathan and Sarah Edwards. Jonathan Edwards is regarded as one of America's greatest theologians, well known, among other things, for his sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Was Burr saved simply because his grandparents were godly, because his grandfather was a devoted and gifted preacher and man of God? Will Aaron Burr be able to say to God, "But my grandfather believed in you, my grandmother believed in you, they were a man and a woman of faith, he was a preacher. Can Aaron Burr make that claim? Well, I suppose he can try to make that claim, but it will do him no good. You see, the question we must ask ourselves is not, was my father or grandfather, was my mother or grandmother a Christian? No, the question we must ask is my faith in the one and only Savior. Is my faith in Jesus? Am I resting on the fact that He laid His life down to redeem me? You see, no matter how godly your grandparents or parents, they can't save you. You're not saved by their faith. You're not saved by a blood connection to them. You're not saved by that lineage. Now, you are saved. I've been saved. You're not saved by a bloodline, but you are saved by blood, right? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed. So is your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Pharisees' hope was in vain because their hope was a false hope. As I already stated, Roman calls Abraham the father of all who believe, right? They were boasting, our father is Abraham. Abraham is the father of those who believe. Is Abraham your father? See, the question is not, is he father through blood, but have you exhibited the faith of Abraham? Are you Abraham's seed by faith? Is your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you exhibiting the kind of faith that Abraham had? Have you followed that faith? Are you a child of Abraham by faith in Jesus? You see, the Pharisees were not like Abraham. The Pharisees didn't share the faith of Abraham. They shared his bloodline, sure, but they didn't share his faith. I want to point out two differences between them and Abraham. The first difference is the attitude they had toward Jesus. In John 8, here, verses 39 and 40, it said, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did." And as Jesus is speaking to them, saying, this is what you're trying to do, and saying to them, this is not what Abraham did, what is probably behind that statement there? This is probably a reference to when Abraham was outside of his tent and the three angelic visitors arrived. They were on their way to deliver judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. And cross-reference Genesis 18 on that. Yet one of these three visitors was addressed by Abraham with the divine title, Lord. And we even see one of those visitors speaking as Jehovah or as Yahweh or as God. This is what we call in theology a theophany. Theos, theo, means God. And the phani means an appearance. And so a theophany is a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ to his people. And so Christ, as one of those three angelic visitors, appeared to Abraham. And what did Abraham do? Abraham raced to greet him, treated him with reverence, treated him with love. The Pharisees and the Jews were not treating Jesus with that reverence and love that Abraham treated Christ with. No, they argued with him. They refused to believe in him. They accused him falsely. They even accused him of having a demon. They wanted to arrest him. And more than that, they wanted to kill him. You're not children of Abraham. You don't have the faith of Abraham. You didn't do the works of Abraham. How dare you call yourself children of Abraham? They sure didn't look like spiritual descendants of Abraham, did they? They look like the children of Satan. If they were the spiritual children of Abraham, they would have received Christ as Abraham received Christ. A second difference is their attitude to God's word. Verses 38, 39, Jesus said, I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you've heard from your father. They answered him, Abraham is our father. Abraham believed the message brought to him. Jesus' teaching got nowhere with the unbelieving Jews. Jesus had said, verse 37, my word finds no place in you. Again, their rejection of the word shows that they are not the spiritual seed of Abraham who had received the word. Therefore, it was strange for them to claim membership in God's family and to be children of Abraham when they didn't exhibit the faith of Abraham. They didn't do the works of Abraham. They didn't believe the word of Christ as Abraham did. They weren't children of Abraham. Jesus is saying it. You're claiming you're children of Abraham, but you're not. You're claiming to be saved, but you're not. The Jews called themselves children of Abraham, but they weren't like Abraham. They were actually a whole lot more like Satan. They look a lot more like him. They act more like him. Verse 44, Jesus says, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Now, when Jesus said they're like their father, the devil, that must have really struck them. It must have been really offensive to them. Now, we're children of Abraham. Some people today find it hard to believe even in the fact that there is a Satan, that there is a devil, that there is the that Satan exists and his host exists. But the reality of Satan is clearly taught in the Bible. It's taught by Jesus. And a couple of things to note right away. Satan is a creature. Let's understand that and let's understand that. Let's know that. He's made by God. Sometimes I think that some people who acknowledge the existence of Satan see him as a force almost equal to God. Absolutely not. Now, does he oppose God? Yes. But is this a force that can somehow overcome God? Absolutely not. No way whatsoever. He was made by God. He is under God's sovereign control. And so understand that. He's not all powerful. He's not a force anywhere even close to equal to God. He will never be able to overthrow God. The Bible describes the devil as a fallen angel. Now, he's been allowed a certain amount of power. And sometimes people view Satan as this little red-horned creature in like pajamas. I think that distracts us from who he really is and the guard we ought to have. because the Bible does teach in 1 Peter 5, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, goes or prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And here Jesus mentions two things about Satan, two things in which the Pharisees are like him, two ways in which they show the family resemblance. First, the devil is a murderer. This tells us Satan's purpose and goal. He's opposed to mankind. He's opposed to God's plan for mankind. And we see that going all the way back to the beginning. He was a murderer from the beginning. You remember Genesis chapter 3 as he tempted Adam and Eve to eat of the fruit of the knowledge of, or the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Remember what God said? You eat of it and you'll what? You'll die. What did Satan say? No, you won't. You won't die. This was an attempt to do what? Slaughter Adam and Eve. He was a murderer from the beginning. Satan's achievement to cause our race to suffer death, even the death of our souls. He does truly go about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The Pharisees, too, are murderers. They were ready to do what? Kill Jesus, the Savior! And see that death continue. They fail to acknowledge the gospel, which alone can bring life. And so the Pharisees are not like their supposed father Abraham. They are like their father, the devil. How else are they like him? Well, he's a liar and the father of lies, John 8:44. We might say that murder was Satan's goal, and the lies were the means of striving to achieve that goal. Satan used cunning and lies to tempt Adam and Eve. And that's his chief tool today as well. That's how Satan continues his work today as well. Through cunning and lies. Lies are his chosen weapon. And by his lies, he seeks to slay many. Paul said, 2 Corinthians 4:4, that he has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And again, remember the temptation of Adam and Eve. He wanted to persuade Eve that God was not good. Has God really said to you that you're not to eat from any tree of the garden? Look how cruel he is. You can't eat from any tree. He's not providing for you. That's what he was trying to say. He was lying. No, God said you have access to all the trees of the garden, but that one. No, you will not die if you eat of it. Lying. Satan is a liar and his lies lead to death. The Pharisees were to be teachers of the law, but they didn't understand the law. They didn't understand the gospel. They didn't recognize the Savior that Abraham recognized. They pointed men away from Christ. Lies continue to spread today. You Christians, you are so intolerant, trying to say that Jesus Christ is the only way. That was a lie that's out there today, isn't it? You're intolerant. Christ is not the only way, they say. And we must say, no, no, he is the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. Or you Christians, you're so intolerant, calling people sinners. How can it be wrong for two men to love each other? How can it be wrong for two women to love each other? Sin's not bad. You're not going to die. You can do this. Who's he think he is to tell you these things? You can make up your mind for yourself. These things are good. These things are enjoyable. And why is it that we fall into sin, whatever that sin is? Because we believe the lie that somehow it's good for us, or it's enjoyable, or we'll like it. But what happens? often we find out really quickly when we do fall into sin that perhaps there was a passing moment of pleasure, but it wasn't really anything to make us happy, was it? These things aren't bad. Sins aren't bad. Sex before marriage isn't bad. Oh, come on. That's old stuff. We hear so often today. Lies continue to spread that lead to death. Satan is the father of lies and he wants to deceive many. Well, you would be better off if you did this, whatever it is that's sinful. You would be better off if you did commit adultery, if you did do this or that. No. You would be better off if you didn't endure through a hard situation, if you just gave up. These lies we tell ourselves sometimes, these lies spread in so many ways. Satan wants to deceive, but his way leads to death, eternal death and separation from God. Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life. And so again, I ask, are you resting in him as he's offered in the gospel? Don't believe the lies that are out there, and there are a lot. Put your faith in Christ and Christ alone. The gospel of John was written, you see, to inspire faith, to call us to faith, to call us to trust in Jesus. At the end of John's gospel, John 20, verses 30 to 31, it says this: Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, right? The gospel of John, these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Purpose of John is to call us to faith in Christ. Yet Jesus asks us an all-important question, verse 46. If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Jesus spoke the truth. God sent his own Son to bear the truth from heaven and to redeem a people from sin. So why didn't they believe? Verse 44, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. The reason that people will not believe is that they are not really children of Abraham, the man of faith, but children of Satan, the murderer and the liar. Satan is their model, their unseen leader. Their spiritual character has been formed in a world that has become his nursery for unbelief. They do not believe because they were children of Satan and the desires to do the will of their father. Right? Jesus said, verse 42, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. They did not believe and thus were not children of God, and it showed in their failure to believe in Christ and to love Christ. Those who truly love the Father will love the Son. And if you don't love the Son, then you do not love the Father. By the way, importance of being Trinitarian, right? The group that bought the Trinity CRC church building is a Unitarian group. They deny a Trinity. They say God is one. They've believed a lie of the world, a lie of Satan, who is the father of lies. They don't trust in Christ as the one who is the one and only Savior. One of the lies, too, presented in our world today is that God is the father of everyone. And that's not what the Bible teaches. Surely it teaches God created us all. That God is the creator of all things. It teaches that mankind has descended from Adam and Eve. True. But the world we live in is fallen. Adam and Eve believed the lie of Satan, the father of lies. And they ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so the seed of Adam and Eve were therefore born guilty and corrupt. Thus, sinful man, as we've said, is enslaved to sin. Sinful man desires that which is sinful and believes the lie. Paul describes Satan in Ephesians 2, verses 2 and 3, as the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passion of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Thus mankind, apart from the work of grace within, is unwilling and unable to receive the gospel message. Man apart from grace, man apart from the work of God, apart from the new birth, is a child of Satan. Jesus said, verse 47, whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Thus, as we've said all along, salvation is entirely, completely the work of grace. It's not that someone believes and comes to God. It's God who comes to us first, gives us new life, and thus we believe. Because until there's an internal change within, until a new heart is given, no one's going to be able to believe. And so how can you be saved? Well, it does begin with God, but the calling for you is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. If your faith is in Christ, if that's your hope, if Christ is your trust, not a physical lineage, not the lies that are out there, but if your trust is in Jesus Christ, then you have salvation, because he's come to save a people for himself. He's come to gather a people unto himself for the Father. He's come to redeem a people for himself. And you, therefore, have nothing to boast in. And so believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and praise God for his grace to filthy, wretched sinners just like you and just like me. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do rejoice in your sovereign grace and in your mercy. We thank you, Father, for sending your Son into the world. And we do acknowledge even now that your love for us is deep. And so, Father, we thank you and we praise you that you have loved us from before the foundation of the world, that you've loved us and you've sent your Son into the world, that you've drawn us to him. And so, Father, grant us an ever-increasing faith and grant, Lord, that we would love you more and more. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.